Good morning. So glad that you're here today. I want to welcome you if you're visiting with us. Thank you for coming our way. Hope that you'll be able to remain after our service concludes today so we can have a moment to get to know you. But thank you for coming our way. And we want to remind you that if you're able to pick up a bulletin as you walked in the door this morning, that if you look on page 3 of the bulletin, you'll find an outline that you can follow along with as we go through our lesson today. But thank you for being here. Just so good to see all of you and your smiling faces. Today being a new month, we're going to start a new sermon theme for the month of November. We're going to be spending a good amount of time during November studying out of the book of James. In fact, this morning we're going to be talking about the key to spiritual endurance. We're talking about wisdom today, so hope that this will be a good series for you. In fact, both lessons today, this morning and tonight, we'll be talking out of James chapter 1. Basically, today we'll be covering the first 18 verses of this little book, and so I hope that tonight we'll be talking about overcoming temptation successfully. So I hope that both of these lessons will help you as you live your life for Jesus Christ. Got a question for you as we get started here this morning. How many of you, when you go to Marsh or Walmart or Meijer, use those U-Scan machines? Are you familiar with what I'm talking about? You know, you don't have to even interact with the cashier anymore. You go up and, you know, scan your groceries through in the line, and you talk to a computer and it takes your money and all of that. I was excited when those came out. I just thought they were great, you know. And certain stores, I have my own opinion as to which store has the best U-Scan. There are certain stores now that I avoid using their U-Scans because they're pointless to me. It takes more time to use their machine than it does to go and talk to a cashier. But I think I was really excited when they came out, because I thought, this is cool. We can just zip right through, because I tell you, I hate standing in a checkout line at a store. It's just not something that guys like to do. Well, here we are. They've been out for a few years now. And what do you do when you go to Kroger or you go to Marsh and all the lines in the U-Scan are full? All the lines in the U-Scan are full. Then you look over and you've got the 12 items or less lane, and it's full. Then you've got every other line, and I just hate waiting. It just seems like it just goes on and on and on forever and ever. And you get to a cashier and she wants to talk about her boyfriend and all the things that have gone on in her life. And it's like, just come on. You understand? I'm an impatient guy. I could give you some other things on how I hate waiting in long lines. I can remember coming back from Ukraine a few months ago. Been away from my family for 16 days. Everything smooth coming across the ocean. Get to Detroit. One last leg to go to come down to Indy. Delayed. Delayed. And then we finally get on the plane. An hour sitting on the taxi to taxi out to the runway to take off. I hate long lines. I say all of that to say this. A lot of times when we're going through a trial, we want to treat a trial like we treat long lines. We hate them. We don't want to go through it. We want to hurry through those kinds of things because they're unpleasant and it's something that we really don't enjoy. But I think as we deal with trials in life, we need to keep in mind that God can use trials as an opportunity to better mold us into the kind of person that he wants us to be. As we look in James, the first chapter, we look at the first 12 verses. These verses, ladies and gentlemen, are written to all Christians. Every single person who calls himself a child of God needs to pay attention to what James has to say in these verses, because herein lies a very serious challenge to every believer in Jesus Christ. Sooner or later in our life, We're going to be confronted with sorrow, heartache, and trial. It has been said that there are only three kinds of people in the world today. Those who are in the middle of a trial, those who have just come out of a trial, and those who are just about to go into a trial. Let me also say this before we get into the text this morning, that when a trial comes your way, it is not just God picking on you, that He's got like you have a bullseye on your head or your heart saying, and God says, yep, I'm going to get you. It's not anything like that, because everyone is subject to trials. Everyone goes through them. They were even experienced by Jesus. When we look in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and verse 15, even Jesus was subjected to them. Even Jesus had to deal with trials while He was here on this earth. And while it is human nature to want to run through these things or hurry through them, I believe while we're going through the trial, we must view them as an opportunity to grow stronger and closer to God. You see, trials create opportunities for us to deepen our dependence upon God. It is during these times that we can realize that nothing can separate us from the love and even the forgiveness of God. You see, God can use even the greatest difficulties or the worst of difficulties in our lives to make us desperate for Him. We're reading in our Bibles here in James, the 1st chapter. Look with me, if you will, in verse 2. And note what James says. He tells us trials will come. Verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. It's not a matter of if a trial is going to come. It's a matter of when a trial will come. Christians should expect oppressions, misunderstandings, and rejection. You can go back and look throughout all of Bible history and see men and women who were living good lives. They were faithful to God, but yet they were still subjected to trial. You think for a moment back to Job. Job, someone who was upright, someone who feared God, someone who made a daily effort to turn away from evil. But if you go back and read Job chapter 1, in one day, he loses his family, he loses his finances, he loses his fortune, he loses his fitness, and he loses his friends. In one day. We think of Daniel, who was totally committed to God. He even prayed to God three times every day. But what did that get him? A trip to the lion's den. We think of Joseph. Joseph, a man of unquestioned integrity. Someone who was filled with decency. Joseph would be a man who we would describe as being loyal to God. He led a life that was pure and upright. But yet, he's a person who's thrown in jail for a crime that he did not commit. I've talked to a certain brother here about this at length as far as Joseph and his trials, and we're just amazed at this man's faith. We're just amazed at how Joseph, being thrown in jail for something he didn't do, and he was not in jail for any small length of time. Could have been years that he found himself in that position. You talk about a trial, you talk about life being unfair, that man could tell us all about what unfairness is. You go back and look at verse 2 here, one of the things James says is he talks about various trials, as the New American Standard would put it. Did you know that word various here in verse 2 in the Greek is the same word that we get the word polka dot from? It's interesting when you think about it. Life is dotted with trials. Trials that we confront come in all shapes and sizes. It might be affliction, it might be sorrow, it might be physical or financial or spiritual problems that we have to confront, but life is full of them. And we know from looking at Scripture, and we know from life in general, that trials take on various forms. The word trials is used here in the New American Standard in verse 2. In the American Standard Version, the word used is temptations. Now, if you go back and look at the original language, there was only one word in the Greek which could refer to either trial or temptation, and it depended on the context as to which word was being talked about. Let me suggest to you, in this context, in this part of James chapter 1, what James is referring to is a trial. And I think it would do us well to get a good definition of what a trial is. A trial is simply a test sent by God. It is a test that is sent by God to help us to learn endurance. It is a test sent by God to help us learn what steadfastness is and patience. And I want us to keep in mind that when a trial comes along, that God is aiming for our spiritual maturity. It's important to keep those things in mind when we are confronted by various trials. Well, what's a temptation? A temptation is something that is sent by the devil to cause us to stumble. And when the devil sends a temptation our way, his aim is for our misery, not for our spiritual maturity. And we know from James chapter 1 and verse 13, if you go down and look at that verse, James says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone." So that tells us a temptation does not come from God, because a temptation is an allurement. It is an inducement to commit sin. Now that's the difference between a trial and a temptation. We know that trials can come on suddenly. You remember in Luke chapter 10 with the Good Samaritan, how he was going down on the road toward Jericho? Did the Good Samaritan set out looking for thieves? Was that his goal, of the whole purpose of the trip? Did he want to try to find some robbers that day? Absolutely not. As you look through Luke chapter 10, this man fell suddenly, seriously, and savagely. Great trials can come upon us with little or no warning, and we can fall into them. So we need to be prepared. And I think wisdom is something that can help us prepare for trials. Someone might ask, how can I prepare for something I can't see? How can I prepare for something that I have no idea what's down the road that's coming toward me? How can I prepare for trials in good times? That's a good question. And it is my contention that we can prepare for trials. And that is by doing our best to grow as close to God in the good times, so that we'll be prepared in the bad, so that we can be sustained through those bad times. You know, we do well in preparing for physical catastrophes. How many of us have health insurance? How many of us have insurance on our homes and our possessions? You see, we must seek wisdom before the trials come. You see, ladies and gentlemen, wisdom is the key to spiritual endurance. And if you're opening your Bibles here to James chapter 1, look with me, if you will, at verses 5 through 8. In this passage, James says, and he connects it in with dealing with trials. Look at verses 2 through 4 and how we need to consider it all joy when we fall into them, because they can be a test to our faith. And then he connects wisdom with this, beginning in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. How can I pick up wisdom? I believe wisdom is picked up by seeking God in His Word. You see, we get to know God by looking at His Word. How strong is our Bible study habits? How strong are they? How much do we come? How many times do we come to Bible class? How often? How often do we study God's Word on our own? How many of us start or end the day by looking into the pages of God's Word, be it with a short Bible reading, be it with prayer, be it with something that enables us to draw closer to God? All of that can help us when we go through a situation that would be called a trial. Wisdom comes from looking and studying God's Word. If you look at Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, and also Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. It is those passages which talk about the necessity of gaining wisdom. The necessity of, once I gain that wisdom, to put it to use. And sometime on your own, you might read Proverbs 1, 24 through 27, that talks about the peril of those who do not use wisdom, who do not seek it and apply it to their lives. Wisdom is so important when we go through trials, because wisdom helps us cope with trial. I believe wisdom is something that helps us to understand the trial from God's perspective. Isn't that important? I believe when we begin to try to understand the trial from God's perspective, that is how, when we look down at verse 2, when James is writing there and says, consider it all joy when you fall into various trials, I believe that's how we can begin to understand why James says what he does. When we begin to view it from God's perspective, that we can use it as an opportunity to grow closer to Him. You see, when we begin to apply God's wisdom, we will become more able to evaluate people and circumstances, and thus we are better prepared to make sound decisions. Wisdom is something that can help us evaluate the source of our trials. I believe discerning the source of the particular trial that we're facing can be very helpful in helping us to know and understand God's purpose for the trial. Let me suggest to you that sometimes our trials come because of somebody very close to home, and that's self. Sometimes we get ourselves into a situation to where we have to deal with a trial. It might be because of a word misspoken. It might be because of a very poor attitude. It might be because of some kind of deed that we've done. It might be a wrong decision. It might be a mistake in judgment. And I'll tell you what, sometimes this can be really tough when we begin to analyze just why we're suffering through said trial when it comes back to self, because there's no one else to blame. And whether we like to admit it or not, we're pretty keen at times in wanting to blame others for the things we have to suffer through. Sometimes trials come from self. Sometimes trials come from others. Maybe it's someone that said a hurtful word. Maybe it's someone who's disheartened us. Maybe it's someone who's mocked us, made fun of us. And maybe it's just the devil himself. They can come. They come from others. And sometimes trials come from things out of our control. I'm wouldn't want to live in Florida anyway, but I'm very thankful I don't live in Florida right now. 4 hurricanes in 6 weeks, was that right? Something about that? I could not imagine. But you know, I've heard various news accounts of people down there that are just beside themselves because 4 hurricanes in 6 weeks, the minute you start cleaning up, here comes another one. And people's homes have been wiped out. Their life savings been wiped out. And I know of people who have sold their homes down there and are moving away from that area because of that. Hurricane's something out of your control. You can't stop it. Sometimes trials come in that way. Hurricanes, tornadoes, freaks of nature, you name it. Sometimes they come just by things that we could have never seen coming. Disease, suffering, things that just can't be prevented. Sometimes we have to get an idea of what the source of a trial is. And I believe when we begin to understand what the source of the trial is, then we are better prepared to evaluate, handle, and grow through the specific issue. Wisdom is something that helps us to discern the purpose for the trial. I want you to consider this for just a moment. There's nothing wrong with asking why. I believe there is nothing wrong with asking in our prayers, God, why has this happened? But I do think when we would go to God and ask why this happened, it might be in our best interest to ask, God, what do you want me to learn as I go through this trial? What do you want me to learn through this? I do think we can ask God why. I do think He wants us to have that kind of relationship with Him that we would feel comfortable in going to Him and asking Him those kinds of questions. He is our Father, by the way. And as we go through the trial, keep this in mind. We want to extract as much good as we possibly can from our suffering. Wisdom can help us realize that there are purposes for our trials. Go back in your Bibles here to James chapter 1 and look at verse 3. Here's a purpose for our trials. Sometimes they are given to test our faith. James says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. To test here means to be found proven. To where you've had that faith tested and you've withstood the test with flying colors. God will test our faith to prove its strength. And as you think about this, ask yourself this question. Of what value is untried and untested faith? Is it worth anything? You know, I sat in my office on Thursday putting this together and got to thinking about that for just a moment. I don't know, and you can think about it from various perspectives, but part of me says, that just kind of scares me a little bit. What's going to come down the road for me that's really going to test me, that's really going to try my faith, and am I going to have the stamina to get through that? Kind of scary when you think about it. You know what? I think as we go through our lives day by day, we need to be moving with confidence and have faith and trust in ourselves and in God that whatever comes our way, that through His help and with His grace, we will be able to stand through that trial. We will be able to pass that test. Amen? Trials can come to test our faith. Let me ask you this. As we're talking about untested faith, how do you know what you can face in life?
if your faith has not been tested.
Think about that for a moment. Think about the writing of what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, where he's talking to first century Christians who day by day had their faith tested. He says, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials." Look at verse 7. "So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Listen to what Peter says there. Listen to that as we go through day by day with what we experience. This can help me grow closer to God. Testing can help us face numerous trials and still stand up. That's the kind of Christian I want to be. And it is my prayer, that's the kind of Christian you want to be. Trials are something that can test our devotion to Jesus. Here's a toughie. How devoted are you to following Jesus Christ? How strong is your devotion? Is it so strong that come whatever may, that you would remain faithful to Him, that you would never turn your back on the Savior? Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, down in verse 24 through 26? As far as I'm concerned, what Jesus says here in Matthew 16 is the bottom line. Jesus expects us to take up our cross daily and follow Him. That's what He says down here in verse 24, here in Matthew chapter 16. He talks about the need of taking up our cross and following Jesus. Am I willing to follow Him wherever He may choose to go? Is my soul that important to me that I'm willing to do whatever it takes so that it will not be lost? Look with me, if you will, verse 25. "Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Will we obey Him even when we do not understand why bad things are happening? Will we follow through when things are not going our way? Let me suggest to you the answers to these questions are found during times of trial. Trials can also help us purify our lives. Trials place pressure on us, even down to the most inner parts of our being. It seems during times of trial that hidden sin, bad habits, and areas that need improvement, they all come to the surface. They all stare at us right there in front of us, reminding us of the need to grow closer to God. Times of trial can indeed purify us, and they need to be dealt with in order to become the mature Christian that God would have us to be. Trials are also opportunities for God to demonstrate His sustaining power for His children. I know in my relationship with many of you over the last 9 years, many of you have been through things that have been extremely unpleasant. Many of you have suffered through grief and problems in life. And as you've gone through those things, I've looked back and, wow, to see how you've been able to stand, to see how
one's faith did not crumble, but yet you stood firm with the help of God. You see, when we stand up and remain faithful during a trial with God's help, let me suggest to you, it says volumes to those around us about one's faith in God. And it says volumes to the unbeliever about our faith in God. It's a testimony to God's power to sustain His children, even through the worst of times. Trials can also produce Christ-like character in us. I think it is during the bad times that we can be reminded, and there are times we need to be reminded, that we absolutely cannot live without Jesus. Without Him, our lives are nothing. Trials cause us to surrender totally to Him, and we must be willing to surrender to Him to the point where our reactions to stress and trial and suffering are actually His reactions lived out in our lives. Trials can help us put on Christ-like character, and I believe they can also equip us for service to others. God can use our trials to make us more useful in helping others. If we can fully identify and understand someone else's pain, what they're going through, then we can reach out to them in such a way that others are totally unprepared for, because we've been there and done that. We've gotten through that with the help of God. If we've been through it ourselves, we can have an intimate understanding of what the hurting individual actually needs. I think it is wisdom that helps us to try to understand trials from the perspective of God. And I think it is wisdom that can truly sustain us as we go through those trials. As we conclude our lesson this morning, I want to close with 10 ways to help us understand God's purpose for trials. Here's one. We must be persuaded that God is in control of the timing and the intensity of our trials. We must let Him be God and do our best to serve Him no matter what. We must be persuaded and realize that when the trial comes, that God has a specific purpose for each trial in life. It's for our testing, it's for our spiritual endurance, is to help us learn patience. We must remember that each trial is designed to meet a specific need that God sees in our lives. We can use wisdom to try to see what that need is and make corrections where necessary. We must accept the fact that each trial is going to result in our own good if we'll respond in faith. That's a hard one to do. You know, walking in faith, ladies and gentlemen, is not easy. That's what faith is. Faith is not something that's just easy to do. Faith means stepping out in trust that God is there. That takes courage. That takes spiritual stamina. Each trial can result in our own good if we'll respond in faith. And we must discover how each trial can strengthen our faith by proving that we depend on God for all our needs. Remember, trials are things that can deepen our dependence on God. We must learn to rejoice in that each trial is an opportunity for God to demonstrate His power to sustain us under tremendous pressure. And as Christians, we have the
obligation to submit ourselves to the development of Christ-like character that results from our trials. We must take advantage of our trials' usefulness in measuring our spiritual growth. And here's the big one. We're talking about trust a few moments ago. We must be convinced that God will walk through us with every step of the trial. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. And as you're looking at this passage, look down at the end of the verse where God says, "I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you." Listen to that. That's the words of God. He will be there with you, but you must look for Him, and you must never turn your back on Him. And finally, we must have faith that by His grace that we will not only survive the trial, but that we will overwhelmingly conquer with each trial. Yes, sometimes I think we wish there was a U-scan out there somewhere that where we could just hurry through that trial and take the shortest route possible to get through it. It's human nature. Been there, done that. We want to get through unpleasant things as fast as we can. But while we're going through that unpleasant thing, don't let Satan push you away from God. That's what happens to a lot of people. While going through the trial, instead of drawing near to God, people are tempted to blame Him for the trial. Draw near to God. Use your wisdom as you move through life. And let me suggest to you, when you do that, success will be yours. I think probably the hardest thing about going through trials, and I want you to imagine this right now. I want you to imagine going through a trial, going through something, and not having God. Where would you be? I want you to think right now, where would you be without prayer as you've dealt with trials in this life? Where would you be without that relationship that you have with God? Would you still be alive? Would you be an emotional wreck? Would you be filled with bitterness and contempt? Would you be filled with cynicism? That's the condition of a lot of folks out in the world, because they don't have God. Don't you be left on your own to face trials. If you're here today and not a Christian, you're on your own. You're by yourself. I can't think of a more scary situation than just to have the devil in my back corner and no one else. It doesn't have to be that way, though. If you're not a Christian, you can become one today. You can get God on your side. You can begin to develop that relationship with the Father. You can begin to discern what spiritual wisdom is. Come forward this morning believing that Jesus is the Christ. Repent of your sins. Confess Him as the Son of God and be baptized. If you're already a Christian, maybe you've drawn away from God, here's an opportunity to get your life right. Don't leave here with your soul in jeopardy. Improve your relationship with the Savior. If you're subject, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing.